I bet you can remember what it's like to go back to school the first day of the new year. We never really lose that memory, no matter how old we get. I know that I was always nervous the first day of school. It was that mix of emotions the kids described. I was excited to see my new friends. I was excited to have all new clothes because I'd outgrown all my clothes in the previous year. So I'd start the school with all new clothes. And I was excited for what I'd learned that year because I was older, so I could learn more challenging things. But then there was those butterflies in the stomach feeling too, right? That's what it feels like when we're nervous, like there's this flutter in our stomach, wondering what will our new teacher be like? Will he or will she like us? Will we make new friends? And will learning come easy or hard for us in this new grade? Because it gets harder every year you go through school. The problem is you don't know the answer to any of those questions before you head out the door and actually make your way to the first day of school for that year. You have to go and experience it to know the answers to those questions. What will your teachers be like? Will you make new friends? Did you forget how to learn over the summer? So the first day of school is a big day. Kids, you might be surprised to know that your parents are a little bit nervous about the first day of school, too. They're nervous about all the same things that you're nervous about. They're going to worry and wonder about you all day, how you're doing. So when they get home, they're going to ask you, how did your day go? Tell them because they really want to know. And what kids don't realize is that adults get butterflies too. Adults get nervous almost every time they watch the news. So if you want to ask your parents permission for something really big, don't ask them while they're watching the news, because they will not have much ability to imagine what you want or what it'd be like for you. If you want to ask for something big, wait till ask them before the news or after dessert. That's always a good time, too. As Christians, we get nervous when we watch the news. When we see all the hard things happening in the world and we wonder, what is God asking of us in light of those things? So we learn about wildfires in California gobbling up homes near Los Angeles, or massive flooding in Louisiana where they've had as much rain in one day as we get snow and rain in an entire year. We get nervous as Christians as we think about the presidential election, wanting to do as much good with our one vote as we've been given as possible. We get nervous as we become more aware of racial tensions, coming to realize that not everyone is treated the same in our country. And we get really nervous when we think about religiously motivated terrorism. So we get nervous as Christians because we're pretty certain that God would want us to do something about these things we see in the news. But we have no idea what Jesus would have us do. And that's what that silly video was about. It's always easier to hear hard things when you add a little silliness to it. Like Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That video was suggesting that as Christians, when we get nervous and we don't know what God wants us to do about the world, there are three different ways that we tend to instinctively respond. When we don't know what to do, we default to these three different ways of responding to what we know about the world. The words she used in the video were fortify, dominate, and accommodate. Fortify, that's a word that actually makes sense to us. When the world gets scary and we get nervous about what we should do about it, sometimes our first impulse is to fortify, and that means to build a fort around us. We build a wall around ourselves. Sometimes we build that wall by retreating from the world and hanging out only with Christians, with people who think like us. We only feel safe when we surround ourselves with people from church, so that's a way of fortifying ourselves, building a wall. Sometimes we fortify ourselves or build a wall around ourselves by retreating into ourselves, just pulling inward. Did you notice that little duck and cover drill in that video? Going to school during the Cold War era, I learned the duck and cover drill. This is what you were to do whenever a nuclear attack was imminent. Get under your desk and cover your head. Eventually, we figured out that wouldn't be too effective. But this duck and cover, this pulling in, shrinking in our world, is a response that is particularly tempting for older adults. I mean, the truth is they have already lived a lot of life. May have gone through a world war, the Great Depression, the impeachment of a president. But the world now is changing so fast in ways they don't understand. While they worry about the rest of us and how we'll do, sometimes they're just glad they won't be here to see how it all turns out. We all reach an age where we eventually say, that's going to be someone else's problem. One of the ways we react to things that make us nervous is to fortify, build a wall around ourselves and everything that scares us. A second way we default to responding to the world when we don't know what to do is to dominate. This response thinks that when things get scary, we should take charge. As Christians, we know the right things to do and to think and to believe. So we should take charge of our world and make these values the law of the land. Then everything would be okay, right? I mean, even if everyone wasn't a Christian, if they at least lived like a Christian, the world would be a better place. So sometimes when Christians get nervous about the world, they try to take charge. They work for a world where Christian values restrain the evils of society. They try to get everyone to think the same and live the same way, but it never seems to work. Because you can't win people's hearts and minds or change hearts and minds through law or through coercion. All we have to do is think back to the Crusades to be reminded of that. That time period of over 1,000 years ago when Muslims first conquered Jerusalem and Christians asked themselves, what should we do? The birthplace of Christ is now in pagan hands. And they felt this impulse to seize control, so they called on Christians through all of Europe to go and liberate the Holy Land. And so they did that. They took charge, conversion by the sword, convert or die. And for several hundred years, the Holy Land just kept exchanging hands between Christians and Muslims, each of them converting by the sword. When we don't know what to do, but we think God wants us to do something, one of our responses is to fortify, build a wall around ourselves, and another is to take charge, to dominate. And the third impulse for us is to accommodate. To accommodate means to just simply blend in. We unconsciously think like this. If the world is a scary place, then I don't want to stand out. I don't want to bring any attention to myself. Unless all that negative energy in the world gets focused on me. So we go along to get along. We wait things out. We hide out in the crowd, hoping no one will notice us as a Christian and that they'll start asking us hard questions. So accommodation is a lot like fortifications. We're hiding from the problems of the world. When we're fortifying, we're off on our own. When we're accommodating, we're hiding out in the crowd. When we get nervous about the world around us, and we don't know what God would have us do, we tend to fall into these three different impulses. Build a wall, take charge, or blend in. So think for a moment yourself. What is your instinctive response when you feel nervous about the condition of the world and what it's like out there? Which of those are you most drawn to? Shrinking your world in, taking charge and making it safe, or just trying to hide and not be noticed? Could it be that Jesus has some other response in mind for us? Well, preachers are like attorneys. You never ask a question you don't know the answer to. Yes. It's possible that Jesus has something more in mind for us than these three ways of responding to how we perceive the dangers of the world. And we need to look no further than Jesus' prayer at the Last Supper for an initial answer to, is there a better response when we're scared about the world? In John 17, Jesus had been watching the news. He knew what was going on in Jerusalem. He knew how things were in the world. He knew that the world was literally going to hell in a handbasket and was about to pick him up and put him in that basket. But Jesus is praying. This is his last night with the disciples. He's at the Last Supper. He's about to be betrayed and arrested. But he prays for them. He begins his prayer by noticing just how desperate the world is. He begins his prayer saying, "Father, the time has come. It's here. This great challenge that I've come for has arrived." And as he prays, he begins to review in his prayer what he has accomplished in his lifetime. He reminds us that he was not from this world, and yet he came into this world. And he came into this world proclaiming words. You'll hear that a lot in his prayer. The power of these words, words about the Father, words about God's love, words about God's way. He came from outside of the world into the world declaring words. And some people heard these words and rejoiced because what they heard was exactly what they've been waiting for, looking for. Other people heard these words and they closed ranks. They rejected Jesus. They hated him, is what Jesus said. They hated him. The world hated him. But Jesus says in his prayer that these words about God's love and God's way have changed these disciples. They no longer fit in the world. They no longer belonged in the world, just like Jesus didn't belong. They've been changed. They now know God, and they know that Jesus had come from God. But even though they no longer belong in the world, that is exactly where Jesus is sending them. As the Father had sent him, so he was sending them back into that world. Now, this morning, we only have time to unpack that problem. To get you noticing, how do you respond when you feel afraid about the world? Come back the next 3 weeks, and you'll hear how Jesus would have us respond as we make our way in this world. Let's pray together. When we think about it, Jesus, there's probably not a single day we will ever live that will be as dark as the night that you prayed this prayer, when the world was aligning itself against you and against God. We give you thanks that we don't have to go through that kind of darkness. But we're watching you and we're listening to you as you entered that darkness and as your friends went with you. We're grateful that you protected them and that you have prayed for our protection. We're grateful that there is some way in which your kingdom is still at work, unfolding and changing the world, and that it doesn't do it through violence, but it does it through the power of your presence and your words. And we pray that you would indeed just change our hearts in these next few weeks because there is so much that scares us. And yet you would have us see all of that differently through the eyes of the kingdom, through the eyes of your reign. We ask you now to be with us, Lord, in the ways in which we are afraid for ourselves about new beginnings of school or changes of health. Or beginning a new season of life without someone who had been there all along. We're grateful, Lord, that these things that are new to us are nevertheless familiar to you. And you can empower us to be present without being afraid, to know your protection and your care. And we give you thanks for that today. In your name we pray. Amen.